following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 28th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's sunny, it's hot, and it's still week one. We get closer and closer to the start of college football officially in week one with games coming up tomorrow. Isn't that crazy? Tomorrow is when games start for week one. Of course, week zero is behind us. And for those of you that joined us a year ago throughout football season, once Auburn kicks off, right, Monday, Tuesday tends to be the, you know, the reactionary shows, right, from the game the previous weekend and the games from the previous weekend. And then Wednesday is really that day that we flip the page forward a little bit and we start to look ahead to the next game. And that's still going to be pretty prevalent on Wednesdays around here. And it's a good mixture because Wednesdays, we have Jordan Hill from Dogs 247, who will be with us today coming up at 2:30. We talked to him about Georgia football, Georgia athletics, and going to get all of the information that you need as the Dogs take on Clemson in week one, right out of the chute at 11 a.m., straight out of College game day, Georgia and Clemson go at it. And it's funny because there are mixed feelings on this game. There are mixed feelings on what is going to happen with Georgia and Clemson. And so, going to get any injury updates. There's some in the running back room we need to talk about from Athens. Also, the confidence level, all of that good stuff. So, Jordan Hill will be with us every Wednesday at 2:30. And then a change from a year ago to this year, and this has already been done, right? Double D, Daryl Dapridge, is with us on Wednesday afternoons in the second hour. So, we get to talk to him from 3:15 to 3:45. First segment will be more of the reactionary from a week ago. Second segment will be previewing the upcoming weekend. But all 30 minutes of it today get to preview the upcoming weekend, week one, the game for Auburn, all the games around the SEC. That's what's going to be fun about Wednesdays around here as well. So busy show every Wednesday here, and today is no different as we continue the countdown to Auburn football starting on Saturday. Just 3 days from now is when Auburn will kick off under the lights against Alabama A&M. So we're going to have some conversations about that today, some of the other week one storylines. Again, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 at 2:30, and then Double D will join us in hour number two. Phone lines are open until we talk with Jordan Hill, 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me. You can call in with any of your comments, your questions. Let's start taking picks. I think Wednesday is a good day to start taking official picks for Auburn, for the SEC, for college football. This is the perfect day in the week to start doing that. So if you've got a lead pipe lock you want to talk about or any of that, you can give me a call at 334-321-1390. Or if it's easier for you, just shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. We will continue to plug and tell you about our SEC football challenge. So be sure that you get in on that at ESPNAU.com. Had a lot of questions about that over the past week or so, and we want to make sure that you get involved with that. Weekly prizes there, a grand prize at the end. All of our sponsors are a part of that. So be sure you check that out at ESPNAU.com. And as we look ahead to this weekend, Alabama A&M, right? It's a game where, look, nobody on the outside of Auburn is going to be looking at this game. Most people in the SEC don't even know that Auburn is playing Alabama A&M this weekend because it's a night game. It's overshadowed by Georgia Clemson. It's overshadowed by Miami and Florida. It's overshadowed by Notre Dame and Texas A&M and USC and LSU, which is right, the right thing. It's not incorrect for that to be the case. But for us in particular, right, we need to talk a little bit about Alabama A&M. Who are they? What is this team? What can we expect this Saturday? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you that Hugh Freeze and this staff are not going to overlook this opponent. And the quote that I continue to go back to from Hugh Freeze this week is, "I don't know what we're going to be just yet. He says, I have an idea, but until we get out there, I don't know." And, you know, he admitted to where coaches are expected to know right away how good their team is or what they're going to be or what their strengths and their weaknesses and their flaws are. Again, you do have an idea, but it takes a team to come in and hit you once or twice to figure some of those things out. And are we worried about Alabama A&M? No. According to ESPN right now, Auburn is a 47.5-point favorite. 47.5. I don't know the answer to this question that I'm about to ask, but let's ask it and see if somebody knows. When's the last time Auburn was almost a 48-point favorite in a football game? Better question is, when did Auburn cover a 47 or 48-point spread in a game? I couldn't tell you. That's a lot of points. I don't care if you're playing a local high school. That's a lot of points, man. And so, there are questions about this Alabama A&M team, and the fact that Auburn is a 47.5-point favorite should tell you a lot about what could happen on Saturday. Let's get to the phone lines here early on the show, 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
This is Tom.
Hey, Tom. What's on your mind, man?
I got one question. Is A&M bringing their band?
I heard they are, yes. I'm pretty sure they're bringing their band.
Well, that alone might make it worth the effort to go.
I've heard good things about them. I'll admit, I've never seen them. I've heard comparisons is it Alabama State that has the really hyped up band and the dance team and everything that normally travels? Is that correct?
I think so.
Have you seen the Alabama A&M band in person? I have not.
Not in person, only in videos. But they are certainly entertaining.
The last time I heard, somebody had told me that they were going to be traveling, and so that would be cool. I mean, if they get the chance to perform at halftime there at Jordan-Hare or you know, anything like that, I think that'd be really neat. So last time I heard is, yes, they will be making the trip.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you calling in. 334-321-1390. If that is not the case or they don't end up traveling, please don't shoot the messenger. But I was told that they would be making the trip, and so that'll be neat. And you know, that's something that doesn't get talked about enough, right? Is in these situations where you have a power conference team, an Auburn or a Michigan or USC or whatever the case may be, and you welcome in these small programs like Alabama A&M, a lot of FCS teams and things, where, yes, we know the deal, we know the drill. They're getting paid $1 million or $2 to come and get beat like a drum. We understand how that works. But he brings up an interesting point. I mean, it's not just that. The fans get to go. The players get to travel to a big-time stadium. Most of them have probably never played in a big-time stadium like this before. And then, as he brings up, yeah, you've got the band that if they do get to travel, that's a cool aspect to it. That's a unique thing for those participants, those students who may never get the opportunity to do something like that again. So, good point right there. I like that. Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
It's Brad.
Hey, Brad. What's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Oh, just calling in. I don't remember. It's been a handful of years back, Jacob, but Alabama A&M came down and played at Auburn. and we gave their band the field at halftime, and it was amazing.
Okay, see, that's what I've heard. I'll admit, I wasn't there for that, I don't think, and so I've never seen them in person, but you're not the only one that I've heard that from, is that it's really, really impressive.
Yeah, so, I mean, I hope they let them get back on the field this year. I mean, it was several years ago, but they put on a good show, man.
The Maroon and White Band is what they call themselves. Looks like they've got, the band. Looks like they've got the, the dance team. And I'm going to look up some videos later just to check it out and see. And so, yeah, I hope they do travel. And I'll be there. I'll be in the press box covering it on Saturday. And I'll have to see if I can make my way outside to take it all in.
All right. Well, good deal, man. Hey, and you did a great job last Friday night. So keep that up, brother.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much for tuning in and to that and to the show and giving us a call. Appreciate that. 334-321-1390. I had a blast last Friday night. Let me tell you what, Auburn High School taking down North Miami Beach. You'll have to tune in again this Friday night back home at the Duck. We are hosting Vestavia Hills, so that's going to be a lot of fun. That's a good Vestavia Hills team who ran up against a really, really good Carver Montgomery team. I'll tell you that. That Carver team is not Carver of the old. They've got some dudes on that team right now, and I think they just got the better of Vestavia. But don't you sleep on Vestavia, the Rebels, because they'll travel. And if any of you were at the Duck or saw pictures of Friday night at Duck Sanford Stadium, there were not a lot of opposing fans there, which, I'll say this, it was sad. It was sad to see, but it was a 9.5-hour trip. I mean, can't expect a ton of people to make that trip. But Vestavia will make the trip down. Don't you worry. So appreciate the call on that, and appreciate you tuning in to Auburn High School Football. That is on Wings 94.3. And look, I'm going to have to check out this Alabama A&M band, and apologies for not having prior knowledge to this, I guess, of how good they are. Just got a text that says they've been allotted 250 tickets, so they should be in Auburn on Saturday night. So there you go. Jeff and Enterprise, appreciate that. So there you go. The question of the day for everybody is yes. Sounds like Alabama A&M's band is going to be here. So good for them. And I hope that maybe they get to share the field with the Auburn band, or both bands perform or something like that. Not too sure how that's going to go, but shout out to them, and hopefully they get to make that trip. And for the game itself, again, Auburn is a 47.5-point favorite. That's the biggest spread I've seen for Auburn in quite some time. And you would expect them to win. You would expect them to win fairly large. But I don't think I'm comfortable, for entertainment purposes only, I don't think I'm comfortable betting on any college football team to win by 48 points. Do you understand how hard that is? 48 points. That's insane. Compared to some of the other ones in the SEC, Ole Miss is a 42-point favorite against Furman. Alabama is a 31.5-point favorite over Western Kentucky. You've got Mississippi State, 24.5-point favorite against Eastern Kentucky. Tennessee's a 38.5-point favorite over Chattanooga. I think Auburn is the biggest point spread favorite. Ooh, hold on. Nope, they're not. And you'll never guess who it is. You'll never guess on who the biggest favorite in the SEC is in week one. At 48.5 points, favored by almost 50 in week one, is Arkansas versus Arkansas Pine Bluff. And I know it's Arkansas Pine Bluff. You don't have to yell at me, I know. But never in my life, ever in my life, am I putting any amount of money on the Arkansas Razorbacks to win a college football game by 49 points or more. Never, ever, ever. That's a horrible idea. And they very well may do it. But you couldn't give me a $100 bill and say, hey, Jacob, go bet on the Arkansas Razorbacks this weekend. They got to win by 49. No, I'm good. Missouri's a 46.5-point favorite over Murray State. Oklahoma, 42.5. What are we doing in week one, man? Does that not show you how Some of these games are just a little out of hand. Some of these matchups are just a little ridiculous. Do we really want to watch a game where a team is favored by 50 points nearly? No. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to sit down and watch that and hope that Arkansas Pine Bluff can keep it interesting. Come on, man. And I know, again, I know why they're there. I know why they happen. I just don't know. Wipe these games off the schedule and give me something that's a little bit more entertaining. Got a text in our on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. It says, Georgia would have covered my... Georgia would have covered minus 59 when they beat Florida State 63-3. Yeah, you're right. They would have covered a 59-point spread when they took down Florida State. But the Noles didn't want to be there. Come on now. The Noles didn't want to be there. They were disappointed. They didn't want to be in that game. Give them a little bit of slack, right? I'm just kidding. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number to get you through to me. Give us a call. We got Jordan Hill coming up at the bottom of the hour, so still time for you to get in here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Continuing on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And a reminder, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will be with us in about 10 or 12 minutes after our bottom of the hour break. And so if you are wanting to call in and be a part of the show, you could do that now, 334-321-1390. The text box is always open at 334-784-1067. And to get back to the season opener for Auburn, right? Alabama A&M coming to town. They are almost 48-point underdogs, and for them, we've had more questions about if their band is going to be here than what the actual team is going to look like. And so that should probably give you some sort of idea on what this is going to look like. And almost every time in these types of matchups going into it, it's always about Auburn. It's not about the other team. Not always. Not always. And sometimes it's both. I think if you look back to New Mexico State last year, sorry to bring that up, but you look back into that game and it was about both sides. It was about an Auburn team that was not ready to play, not prepared to play, and looked like they didn't want to play. And a New Mexico State team that ended up being pretty good, pretty talented, whose quarterback is now in the SEC, and a team that was confident in their abilities to walk inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium and come away with a victory, and not just a one-point win, a dominating win by the end of it. So, yeah, last year in that game, it was about both sides. Season opener, though, for Auburn, 47.5-point favorite. It ain't about your opponent. It's about you. It's about what you are going to do. It's about what the offense and the defense and the special teams are going to look like. It's about what the fans do and how the fans are treated in game one with a nice win on opening weekend. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for a lot of smooth operations. It's not all going to be smooth. Right? There's going to be things that are not perfect, that are not going right or don't go well. And I think those are kind of expected in a week one game. The luxury that Auburn has and a lot of other teams around the country have is, yeah, it's an Alabama A&M team where you could throw 5 interceptions on Saturday and you're probably still going to win the football game. You have that. Compared to Georgia or LSU or Texas A&M or Florida, who open up with a big-time Power 4 football game. You can't afford to do that. You have to be at your best. And it brings up the conversation that's as old as time with, okay, would you rather open up against a cupcake game, a heavy favorite game where you don't have to be at your best? Or would you rather open up against another Power 4 team and put those expectations on yourself and not have the chance to not get up for the game, right? And you have to be your best and you get battle tested early. I think there's pros and cons to both ways, to both sides. I think you know where I stand. I don't want to play, and nothing against them, I don't want to play Alabama A&M this weekend. I would rather play a Notre Dame here at home. I would rather play a Miami here at home. And I know you get Cal next week, but whatever. I'd rather play a big-time game to get the season started. And I don't mind it, I guess, week one. I do like that we get a Power 4 team in week two. Now, it is California, but it is a Power 4 team, and it still counts in the record book. But I just think these types of games, they just get old, man. They get old to me. And every coach in America, some of them will tell you straight up, but if you had them behind closed doors and swore to secrecy, Hugh Freeze would tell you they're not going to get any better this weekend. This Auburn football team is not going to get any better because of Alabama A&M, because of this game on Saturday. They may get a little more comfortable. They may, I don't know, shrug off the first game jitters, if you will, the nervousness of some of the freshmen playing their first true game inside of the walls of Jordan-Hare, but nothing that happens this Saturday is going to make you better against Georgia or make you give you a better chance against Texas A&M or give you a better chance to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And some people may disagree with that, and that's fine. I don't see the value in playing a game like this. And how many times have you seen games like this that Auburn is going to win, is expected to win, and you see injuries happen in these games? And look, they happen in every game. I'm not saying that they don't. But at what point do we have to say, okay, is it worth playing this team and potentially losing players in a game that doesn't make us better? What's the point of playing, other than to win, of course, if you're not going to get better because of it? Even in a loss, you can get better. But you're not going to lose on Saturday, hopefully. You're supposed to go in there and win by 47.5, 48 points. I don't know, man. I get kind of bored with it, I guess, is the best way. I'm excited for the season to start, and I'm excited that the season is getting underway. I would just rather it be a Power 4 game or make it more of those games, right? There's the conversation of an extra SEC game and one of these games being knocked off the schedule. I'm cool with that. I'm absolutely cool with that. Play one of these games per year, play an out-of-conference Power 4 team per year, and play the rest of your games against the SEC. Fine by me, right? That's cool. Because this year you have Alabama A&M, you have New Mexico, and you have ULM. Drop one of those for an SEC game, play one out-of-conference Power 4 team and another out-of-conference small team to help keep their programs running. Because that does have a positive factor here, right? These types of programs, they use the seven-figure money that Auburn pays them to keep the doors open on the football facility. So there are good reasons for it. But if Hugh Freeze were to if we were to ask him, do you really want to play this game? Are you going to get any better? What are you looking for this Saturday? I don't know. Everybody to stay healthy? Everybody to walk out of there with no bandages or no bruises or no breaks? That's pretty much what you're looking for. And it's so disheartening when you lose a player in a game like this compared to, man, he was out there fighting against Missouri on the road. He gave it his all and just got caught up in a tough spot, but he was competing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope it does make sense. And I don't know. It is what it is here. John in Auburn says Alabama A&M has become Auburn's de facto in-state opponent. Auburn has not played UAB since 1996 and has never played Troy or South Alabama. Says, I want no part of UAB, Troy, and South Alabama and see no value against a decent group of five in-state opponent. Yeah, I mean, it's like those teams that play, UAB or you go to Tulane. Everyone Ole Miss did that or those types of teams. Like, there's a fine balance between getting that gimme win, testing your team, and also not putting yourself in a spot to lose I don't know, man. It's a tough spot to be in. Thank goodness I'm in radio. I could just talk about it. I don't have to make those decisions. Well, a team that is not getting a gimme win in week one, that they have to show up and play if they want to get the W, it's Georgia as they take on Clemson in week one. And we'll talk all about that with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 coming up.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins, and joining us on the phone lines, he does it every Wednesday at 2:30, and he writes for Dogs 24/7. It is Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7. Jordan, great to hear from you. College football season, it's here, man. It's here, and it's not week zero. It's actually week one of college football.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, Jacob. We've made it through another long off season. I know there were times where it felt like the season would never get here, but super excited to get this one underway, and as I'm sure we're going to get into, glad that there's going to be an exciting one with Georgia and a lot of anticipation about what's going to happen in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll get into to game one for Georgia against Clemson, which seems to be one of, if not the biggest matchups in week one. But look, the fans over here are excited about Auburn and the season getting started and what the expectations are and year two under Hugh Freeze and, you know, still in the building stages of turning the program around. But fans over in Athens are I think fired up, are they not? I mean, missing out on the playoff and then dominating in a bowl game and trying to come back for a little bit of vengeance in 2024.
Oh yeah, I think that there's definitely fans feeling like Georgia missed out on a golden opportunity last year, losing the SEC title game. I think fans understand that this is another loaded Georgia team, and it's not going to come easy. We've dissected this schedule quite a bit over the summer, but I think there's an excitement. And I think that folks are excited that they're going to be tested right out of the gate. I have a pretty good feeling when we all wake up Sunday morning, we're going to know quite a bit more about this Georgia team than we did going into Saturday.
Does or has Kirby Smart said anything to you guys there, you know, local media wise, just about bouncing back from last year and using this year to make up for that? Because I know in the past he has never, ever used previous teams as motivation for current teams. Does that seem to be the same situation here?
Definitely. It's a situation where even when things have gone well in the past, Kirby has not wanted to focus on it. Today, and it's very much the same in the fact that they missed the playoff. I mean, he said that, you know, that was a different team, and that's not a team that, you know, the team this year is very different than the one that lost to Alabama last season, so they're not focused on it. I know at Media Days, Carson Beck made very similar comments. Essentially, you know, whether we would have gone 12-0 or 0-12 the year before, it doesn't do a whole lot for you this time around, so I think that they've got the right mindset. I think they know that nobody's going to feel bad for them because they just barely missed out on the playoff last year, that they've got to go earn it if they're going to make it in the 12-team era. And I think they're pumped, and I think they're ready to show people that they're up for the challenge.
Yeah, Georgia been pretty much the most popular pick, them and Texas, to make the SEC championship game. Of course, the winner of the conference will get one of those top four byes and will, you know, move into that college football playoff. But I just want to put this into perspective. If Georgia or Auburn or Alabama or whoever, if they don't win the SEC, they still have a good chance, Georgia especially, to still make the college football playoff and Jordan host a playoff game at Sanford Stadium. What a scene that would be.
I know. It's one of those things, you know, we almost saw that in the 4-team era 2 years ago when it kind of lined up like, oh, Tennessee wins out. You know, they might be able to make the playoff and have not played in Atlanta. And then South Carolina took care of that one. And then we didn't wind up having to see that come to fruition. But no, I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, we've talked throughout the lead up to this season, it's going to be very, very difficult for Georgia to go undefeated this regular season. I don't think they will just because of how tough the schedule is. But if you wind up missing out on Atlanta, it's not a killer. I mean, quite frankly, it might be an advantage. Now, I say that, and I also say I do think that Georgia wants to go undefeated, that they would much rather play in the SEC title game. You know, Kirby takes a lot of pride in winning conferences, but if that does happen, I know, you know, if they do lose a game, if they somehow miss Atlanta, I know Georgia fans would be upset, but I would tell them, you know, it could work out in your favor, and it especially would if they get to host a playoff game. I can't even imagine what that atmosphere would be like if that wound up playing out.
I'm just excited to see that in general, right? I mean, whether it is an SEC team or a Big Ten team or a Big 12, whatever the case may be, I mean, there will be teams this not fall, I guess winter, huh? That'll host playoff games for the very first time, and it's just so unique because that's literally never happened in college football. I mean, we're in such a new era right now.
For sure, and it makes even predicting what this bracket is going to look like. I haven't had the guts yet to try to put out a 12 team just because I know how hard it's going to be to figure out. But, no, I mean, it makes it very exciting. It makes it going to be fun. And I do really buy into the fact that, you know, you've heard a lot of people in the last few days of the season get started talk about that, you know, there are going to be more teams that are playing nationally relevant games in November and into December. I really do think that's a fact. So it's going to add a little bit more intrigue for teams that, you know, in the four-team era would have felt like they were already out of the running and basically playing for pride.
That's a really good point. I have not thought about that. It's impossible for my brain to think into November right now with everything going on, but that's a really, really intriguing point because, yeah, with even go back to the BCS era or, yeah, the four-team playoff, I mean, there were only, what, 10, 12 teams that were involved in big-time games, and now it could be up to, what, 20, 25, maybe even 30. I mean, you think about how that just adds more of an emphasis later in the season for college football. I like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, what's going to be very interesting about this first one is we don't really know where to draw the line of who's still in the picture.
Right.
So there may be even more teams than, say, if we get into it next year and say, okay. But, you know, take a team like Georgia. You know, we're talking about their schedule. You know, if they lose three games, are they still in that conversation? What about four? You know, if it's the right combination. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot more intrigue late into the year for some of these fan bases because, you know, and I think it's understandable teams that have championship aspirations, when you miss out on that and, you know, your hopes are seemingly dead in October, I can understand kind of wanting to throw in the towel, but I don't think there's going to be that many teams among the nationally relevant teams that find themselves in that situation. I think that's good for college football.
And ultimately, it makes it better for the fans, too, who are there on Saturdays, whether it be watching on TV, listening on the radio, or attending there in person. Yeah, it just makes the season that much more fun and makes it that much longer for a lot more fan bases. As we're talking with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, you can catch all of his Georgia coverage there at dogs247.com. Let's wrap up fall practice and stuff. That's obviously gone. That is over. We're in game week preparation mode now for Georgia football as they get ready for Clemson in week one. What do people need to know injury-wise, starter-wise, depth-wise, all that type of stuff, Jordan? Tell us what we need to know about the Dogs heading into week one.
Well, I'll start with the injury front, and the most significant one is Roger Crobinson, who, one of the running backs, had been dealing with a toe injury, had surgery last week. He's going to be out, definitely going to miss the Clemson game. I would be surprised if he plays in the month of September. Kirby described him as week-to-week. And that is very important because we still don't know the status of Trevor Etienne, who had been arrested back in March on a few driving-related charges that included DUI. Kirby will not say whether or not he's been suspended. I think it's going to be a situation we're going to go up to game time and see if number one goes out there. So your running back room comes into question, and we're going to be watching Branson Robinson, who I think has got to be the favorite to start right now, given Trevor Etienne its potential suspension. And Branson's the guy that tore his patellar tendon in fall camp last year. So that would be quite the comeback, especially if he's able to start. But other injury news, I think they're in good shape. Colby Young, a receiver they got from Miami, had been slowed down a little bit by a hamstring, but I think he's back and he'll be able to play on Saturday. Jared Wilson had been dealing with Achilles tendonitis, but he's been back. He was in their second scrimmage. I expect he'll start at center. And then Warren Brinson, a defensive tackle who started three games last year. He was also dealing with an Achilles injury. But he's been able to go since the end of fall camp. So generally they're in decent shape. Obviously the Roderick Robinson loss is pretty significant. And then again, we're going to be watching the Trevor Etienne situation closely. And hopefully if we do find out something between now and kickoff, we'll have it over there on dogs247.com.
Yeah, that running back room's been one you and I have talked about all summer long. I mean, it's been up and down. There were a lot of concerns. Then it seemed like there was some positivity and guys that emerged. And, yeah, now here we are, and they're having major injury problems and possible suspensions. And if you talk about a running back room that's not solid through the month of September, if you include the Clemson game, which is this weekend to kick things off, Clemson at Kentucky, at Alabama, and then Auburn to open up October, those aren't good games to have running back problems.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be a situation on Saturday where you're probably going to see a walk-on Cash Jones, who's been in the program for quite a bit, and then Nate Frazier, who's a true freshman who just got here in the summer. And there's a couple other freshmen that could get mixed, but I do think it's going to be sort of an all-hands-on-deck situation for the running backs, and it's going to be something to watch. I'll also be intrigued just to see if Carson Beck's asked to throw maybe a little bit more than we might have anticipated, just because of some of these questions.
Which is exactly where I was heading next. I mean, that almost inevitably has to put more pressure on him, right? And puts more pressure on Kirby and the entire offensive staff to say, look, Carson, we've got trouble behind you. We've got to rely on your seniority. We got to rely on your arm and figure out who we've got on the outside and see if Georgia can put up some points against a Clemson team that brings back a lot on both sides of the ball. Jordan, what can you tell us about the Tigers?
Yeah, I think they're coming into this game really hungry. I give a shout-out to Clemson 24/7, Austin Hannon. We did a podcast on Wednesday just previewing this game and got a lot of good insight. And, you know, I think this is a proven ground for Cade Klubnik. He's a guy that 2 years ago really broke out. He was the ACC championship game MVP, I should say. He was just the third freshman to ever win that award. The other two were, wow, Jameis Winston and Dalvin Cook. So that was some pretty good company. But up and down first full season as a starter last year, turned the ball a little too much. I think that's going to be the big key for him. But this Clemson team's hungry. You know, I think a lot of folks have written them off. I understand, you know, that they have taken a step back from some of the top years with Dabo, but we're still talking about a program that won 9 games last year. I mean, they are still very dangerous. They still have a lot to play for. I think they see that, you know, it's going to take a near-perfect game, I believe. But they've got a chance on Saturday, and they want to prove that they're still nationally relevant, and they're going to get their opportunity against another very good Georgia team.
For entertainment purposes only, of course, Georgia favored by 13.5. You're looking at over under 48.5. Georgia's still a pretty heavy favorite. But 13.5, Jordan, does that seem right about fair? I mean, is that what you would expect for week 1 between these two teams?
That's about what I've got just in my actual score prediction. I got Georgia 30-17. I will say I was a little bit intrigued that line didn't drop a little bit with Trevor Etienne's uncertainty, and maybe it's more of a status of, you know, the folks who made this line had understood that he might be out, have known that for a while. But no, I think that's a fair line. I mean, I think the biggest thing to me from the Clemson standpoint is Cade Klubnik's got to have a big day if they're going to have a chance to beat Georgia. And I will say that there is opportunity. I mean, Georgia's secondary is breaking in 3 new starters. Do have Malachi Starks back, also have Daylon Everett back, but yeah, I think that line's about fair. Again, a little surprised it didn't drop a little bit just with the running back situation, but it falls in line with what I'm expecting on Saturday.
Jordan Hill of Dogs247, he's with us every Wednesday here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Before we let you get out of here, just for fun, other games that you have on your radar that you'll either have pulled up on your phone or maybe they'll have it on the TVs there at Mercedes-Benz, other games around the SEC you've got your eye on this Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to, I will say I'm very glad that Georgia and Clemson have the noon game because we don't have to wait around and we get to watch more football after the fact.
True.
But a couple games that immediately pop out to me, sort of an anxiety bowl in week 1 with Miami and Florida. I really like Florida in that game. I'm not sold on the Mario Cristobal rebuild. I don't know if I want to ride that one, and I think Florida's got a really good opportunity to start what's going to be a make-or-break season for Billy Napier on a high note. And then another SEC game I'm going to be watching closely is Notre Dame and Texas A&M. I think that, you know, I'm buying what Mike Elko's selling there in College Station. I think that he's a really good coach. I think he's got a chance to get the Aggies a little ahead of schedule this year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be in that tier of SEC teams that are just a step behind. But a big test with Notre Dame coming to town, I think that'll be exciting. And then looking at Sunday night, I mean, seeing LSU and USC, I have no idea, Jacob, what to expect of that game. I don't know if USC is going to have a semblance of defense for it, but I think it's going to be a really good game, and I think it's going to be fun to see what LSU looks like post-Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I know the Auburn and Alabama A&M game just slipped your mind, but you'll have that one on somewhere too. I mean, Auburn's only, Jordan, a 47.5-point favorite. I know you'll have that one just to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, that was the fourth one on my list, Jacob. I just didn't want to go over in my allotted time, so I figured I'd say that one.
Oh, no. There's so many of those games. I was talking about it earlier. There's so many of those games. I mean, Auburn's a 47.5-point favorite. You've got Texas, 32-point favorite. Tennessee, 38.5. Arkansas's favored by 48.5 points, Jordan. Never in my life have I seen a number like that for them.
Yeah, and I will say it kind of stinks from our perspective covering these games for that to be the week one game. And all due respect, last year Georgia opened with UT Martin, but you know, you're already kind of looking ahead to the next game, and obviously it'll be an opportunity for some other people to get on the field, maybe get some reserves in. But you know, I guess you'll take anything with as long as the offseason is. But definitely glad Georgia's got a really, really big game to get this thing going.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Georgia and Clemson, they open up week one of college football, 11 a.m. on ABC. You can catch that coming straight out of College Game Day in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Jordan Hill of Dawgs 247, plug it all. Tell people where they can find your coverage and everything you guys got going on as college football gets underway.
Definitely, dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at dogs247. Hey, go check out our podcast, Junkyard Dogcast. We got a preview of this game with Clemson 247's Austin Hannon. Really enjoyed talking to Austin and getting a better feel for this Clemson team. So, yeah, just keeping the countdown going, just a few more days. Excited on Friday to roll out a big Carson Beck feature. And like we've said, Jacob, football's back, and super excited to get to Saturday and see how this game plays out.
You do a great job, and so does everybody else, and so does Austin Hannon. Shout out to him. He was with us for a long time when he was doing his Bama coverage, and now he is doing a fantastic job for Clemson as well. Jordan, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy covering the game this weekend. We'll talk to you this time next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks so much, Jordan Hill of Dawgs 247. Check him out at dawgs247.com. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one. A reminder, it's Wednesday, which means Daryl Dapper, it's Double D, coming up in hour number two. He'll join us at about 3:15, so between now and then, you've got time to get in on the phone lines. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Couple of more minutes here in hour number one on ESPN. Again, we'll get into hour number two, have a quick segment there, and then we'll get to Double D. Daryl Dapperidge will join us, as he does every Wednesday, for Double D Wednesdays. And so you don't want to miss that. That is going to be a lot of fun. And appreciate Jordan Hill of Dawgs 247. Man, great stuff from him today as we were basically recapping everything that's happened throughout fall camp for Georgia. Injury updates, problems in the running back room between injuries and a unknown on ETN whether he's suspended or not. I mean, let's take some bets here. Let's take some picks. We don't know if ETN is going to play for Georgia. And what Jordan was telling us is Kirby won't say whether he's suspended or not, and that it's they're just going to have to find out all together at the game on Saturday morning. Let's take some bets here. Who thinks that Kirby Smart is going to do the right thing and not play ETN on Saturday? Who thinks he's going to do that? All right. Now let's ask the other way. Who thinks he's going to wait, not tell anybody, and just to make sure they have the edge they need to beat Clemson, he's going to play ETN? Which one do we think is going to happen here? I think you know what I believe. I mean, genuinely, I don't know. And if the local media in Athens and Jordan Hill is as good as it gets over there. If they genuinely don't know and Kirby won't tell them, why? That's my question. What are you hiding? Why not say whether he's suspended or not? Whether he is not going to play because he was yet another Georgia football player who got in trouble for a driving-related incident, including DUI? Why not say something? And could Georgia win without him against Clemson? Yeah, probably. But he would help. He would be a nice boost for them, especially in a room that's already depleted because of injury. I don't know. Do we trust Kirby to do the right thing? Or is he going to do the thing that helps him get a win? Guess we'll have to find out Saturday at 11 a.m. when they take on Clemson at Mercedes-Benz. All right, coming up in hour number two, really excited for this. I've got an interview for you that we're going to play when we come back. Marty Smith of ESPN, he sat down with me earlier this morning. We're talking college football, and he's got thoughts on Auburn as well. That's coming up along with Double D in hour number two.
Following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. If you missed any of hour number one, you know where to find the podcast at this point, don't you? ESPNAU.com. We post the show there each and every day. After the show, you can go and listen back. We had Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, started looking at week one in college football, talked a little Auburn as well, and you can go find that after the show today. Our SEC Football Challenge is also on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, got to get to it quickly. We got a lot to get to in this hour. All right, Double D, Daryl Dappert will be with us in about 10 or 15 minutes, and we'll have him for 30 minutes on the show, and so excited to get all of his thoughts on week one in college football. And, of course, his picks and predictions for Auburn and Alabama A&M. But as I promised, coming out of Hour 1 and into Hour 2, this morning, literally this morning, I sat down with ESPN and SEC Network's Marty Smith to talk about Week 1 in college football and get his thoughts on Auburn this season as well. Excited to have this for you. So we're going to have Marty Smith from ESPN, then take a break, then have Daryl Dappert when we come back. Okay, that's all here for you in hour number two. It's brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, the East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. They bring you the second hour, 3 to 4, each and every day here on ESPN. And so, without further ado, this is my interview this morning with ESPN and SEC Network's Marty Smith. Here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader on the line, 2 to 4 each and every day here in Auburn, Alabama. And very excited to be joined by a guy that you know very well. We carry his show on the weekends, and you hear him all throughout the college football season. Marty Smith joining us on ESPN 106.7. Marty, great to have you on the show. And, man, college football season is here.
Well, first of all, I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you guys for having me, and I love the spirit of it. So grateful for that. I'm so pumped up for this season. I just feel like there's so much optimism for so many different schools, and the SEC is just a brutal gauntlet for everybody. I don't care if you have a perceived easy schedule. It's a hard schedule. And so I look forward to it. We'll be SEC Nation, and Marty and McGee will be down in Gainesville on Saturday. We have the Miami at Florida game. I spent 30 minutes on the phone last night with Billy Napier, really learning about his group and the optimism there. I was in Baton Rouge all day Monday, in Athens all day Tuesday with the Tigers and the Dogs respectively. So here we are, man. Football season is here, and I'm pumped for it. Can't wait.
Yes, it is, and you are a very busy man. There's no doubt about that. You'll be making trips all over the Southeastern Conference this football season. And before we get some of your thoughts on those teams around the SEC, and of course Auburn, since that's where we are here on ESPN 106.7, you're with us today and representing a new platform, a new organization called Game Change. And I want to give you a chance just for a minute or so to tell people what that is, since Auburn is now a part of this this new platform of Game Change. Tell the people what that's about.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity very much. So, you know, when you're at the grocery store and you pay your bill and they ask you, do you want to round up? It's the same exact philosophy. But what you do, you go to gogamechange.com, you input your credit or debit card of choice, pick your favorite school, and then when you use that credit card, it's automatically rounded up to the next dollar. And that balance goes directly to the school that you chose.
Oh.
So if you go, you know, if you go down here to the grocery store, your balance is $100.10. That 90-cent balance goes directly to Auburn University, to the athletic department, and then the athletic department chooses how they want to distribute that money within the athletic department. It's just a really cool, easy way to support the teams and the universities that we love, who are all looking for money right now. And also, it's considered a charitable donation, so it is a tax write-off, which a lot of people also appreciate. And you also, when you do donate each of those times when you're using that credit card, Game Change also enters you into a sweepstakes where you can enter prizes, money. It's a really cool initiative. And when they came to me hoping to partner, I had a couple of meetings with them, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a really cool idea. I wish I'd have done it, but nonetheless, yeah, just go to gogamechange.com, put in your credit or debit card, choose Auburn University for all you guys listening, and each of your purchases with that card, you're automatically sending money directly to the athletic department.
Well, that is really, really neat and a very unique idea where, and you said it, in a time now where college athletics, it's so heavily funded by the fans and the people around these programs. What a really neat thing at Game Change. Like you said, you can go to gogamechange.com and people can sign up, choose Auburn, and round up your money and give that to the university for NIL funds and things like that. And so really neat for you to be a part of that, Marty, and we appreciate you plugging that here, joining us on ESPN. Let's talk a little college football. I want to get your thoughts on Auburn first before the rest of the SEC. Tigers open up with 5 straight home games. They've got Oklahoma on the schedule, road trips to Athens and Tuscaloosa. Tell us your thoughts and feelings about Auburn this year.
Brutal. It's wonderful, though, for us, for Coach Freeze and his staff. Man, it's just, as I said, regardless of what program you represent or you lead or you love, every one of these SEC schedules is so unforgiving. Mm-hmm. But I also believe with the 12-team playoff, it is more forgiving, even though it's going to be harder to reach the SEC championship game for all of these schools because there's no more divisions. The playoff is more achievable. That's just my opinion. Now, I love what Coach Freeze is doing. I think he's a phenomenal ball coach. Ryan McGee and I had the opportunity to sit down with Coach for a long time at SEC Media Days and really dive in. And I know you saw the viral clip where he said he should have 4 wins against Nick Saban. I don't know why people think that's polarized. I don't know why people would question it. He's not wrong. He had him beat at Ole Miss for a 3rd time, and he had him dead to rights last year in Jordan-Hare Stadium. And Nick Saban's Nick Saban, and they practice Gravedigger every week because, of course, they did, mm-hmm. because he's Nick Saban. And they happened to win that game, but Auburn was in it, and they're better now. So I just found it interesting, and I'm going to call Coach Freeze myself and just ask, like, why he felt like he needed to explain himself after that. I don't understand that. But anyway, I think he's a great dude. I enjoy him very much. I enjoy his wisdom. And I love being around him. I'd love to play golf with him soon because I know he'd kick my butt, but I'd like to try.
I would have a lot of optimism if I was an Auburn fan on a lot of levels. The competitive depth and the competitive stamina is going to be better. He is going to be calling plays, which is important, I think. And I love the squad. You look at the recruiting. I know you live it every day, brother, but he's recruiting his butt off.
Oh, yeah.
And so the future is very bright on the Plains, in my opinion.
Marty Smith from ESPN and SEC Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Opelika. Need some predictions from you, my man, for week one with so many great games across the SEC. Georgia, Clemson, LSU, USC, Texas A&M, Notre Dame. Some week one picks and predictions from you, and then maybe a hot take for the 2024 season around the SEC.
All right, let's just start with LSU and USC. Both coaches, I think, really need this win, but I think Lincoln Riley needs it worse. He loses Caleb Williams to the NFL. They haven't been able to stop a nosebleed for a long time, even back to his Oklahoma days. He was very loyal to Alex Grinch, his previous defensive coordinator. He's made a change there. So I think Lincoln really needs it. I think Lincoln's a very good football coach. There's narratives otherwise. I disagree with anything otherwise. But Coach Kelly, I was just down there, spent a lot of time with him. He loves this team. Garrett Nussmeier takes over for the Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels. They love the leadership that Nussmeier's grown into. They have dudes everywhere. They probably have the number one offensive lineman in the country in Will Campbell. They have a great defense with Harold Perkins and those guys. Blake Baker is the defensive coordinator now, which was necessary because if LSU could have made any stops last year, they might have been a national title contender. So I say all of that to say taking LSU in that one.
Okay.
Notre Dame and A&M is also very intriguing. I love A&M's quarterback. I love Elko and what he's already put his stamp on that program. A lot of people are very high on Notre Dame. Notre Dame needs it because, you know, they can't really lose a whole lot of games if they want to have a chance to make it to the playoff. That was very tough for me. Very tough for me. Notre Dame's defense is going to be really good. I think I'll take
tough,
Notre
man.
Dame. It's very hard because I really like A&M, but I think I'll just – Riley Leonard's coming off of an injury, but a very good player. I'm going to take Notre Dame, but I mean by a squeaker.
Okay.
All right. I think that being at home is certainly worth a lot to A&M. Very loud, very raucous. But I'm probably wrong about this. I'm the worst picker ever. Thank God I don't have to do it on TV. Let's see what else. I have Florida, Miami.
Yeah.
Another one where both coaches desperately need it. Talked to Billy Napier last night for 30 minutes. He loves this football team. I know Mario Cristobal loves his team too. Miami has Cam Ward behind center now, a very good player. They have a lot of dudes on defense. They really like their skill guys in the back end defensively. They believe they shored that up. They needed to. But listen to Billy talk about this team. I've used the word competitive stamina. He uses that word. He's a Saban disciple. You are going to be surprised with the team that Florida puts on the field. They're going to be so much better, man. And I think the Swamp is the – I think that's the difference. I got Florida close, and Billy needs that win. What other game do you want me to pick?
I mean, you do have Georgia-Clemson week one, too.
I'm taking the Dogs. The last time they were in that building, they got beat by Alabama in the SEC championship. I was in Athens this week, and both quarterback and head coach both told me, we don't use that as motivation. We start anew every year. I don't believe them as far as I can throw them. I think that losing out on the college football playoff last year really hurt them, and they want vengeance. I think it's a reckoning. Dabo and his group are going to be better than people believe. They have a great defense. Cade Klubnik behind center has started for years. I talked to Carson Beck about him. He really liked him. He liked not only his personality and the person he is, but also his ability to throw the football. So they got to make better decisions. Cade Klubnik needs to make some better decisions, but I like the Dogs in that one, in Atlanta.
One more thing before I let you go. Marty Smith from ESPN and SEC Network with us. I was in the studio the morning where Scottie Scheffler and the whole thing went down at Valhalla. I watched that news break live on ESPN. Where does that rank for you and just the craziest storylines you've ever covered in your career?
Weirdest. Well, it's way up there. I mean, I've covered some stuff in NASCAR that was very difficult or unique or different, whether that's driver fatalities, whether that's driver injuries, that kind of thing. But ultimately, Scotty getting arrested was crazy. Jeff Darlington, my colleague, did just a wonderful, elite job. He just happened to be in the car in front of Scotty, captured that content, and then did a brilliant job with his reporting. He was measured. He was very factual, eyewitness, rather than any assumptions or conclusions. It was a master class, in my opinion. And then they call me, get me out of bed, I go to work, and I'm chasing Scotty all day. So I love you, Marty. Will live forever in my mind. And it was just a wild day, man. Jeff and I had a bunch of cold ones that night, let me tell you.
I bet you did. What a crazy day that was. And, man, we're so appreciative of you and your time. Marty Smith from ESPN and SEC Network here on ESPN 106.7. How awesome is that, huh? How awesome was that interview? Had him this morning. His rep reached out, and it was so nice working with them and his new ride, Game Change. Go check that out. GoGameChange.com. You can be a part of that. Marty Smith from ESPN and SEC Network. I'll recap that a little bit more at the end of the show. Got to get to break because Double D, Daryl Dapper, is waiting on us when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
It's that time. It's time for Double D. Daryl Dapper, who joins us every Wednesday here on ESPN 106.7. You can catch him a couple of days a week on Locked on Auburn, the Daily Auburn podcast. And he's got a new article up on auburndaily.com. Double D, great to hear from you, my man. Happy Wednesday and happy week one.
Man, happy Wednesday. It's great to talk to you during the week. Then in a few days, Auburn kicks it off. So this is what we've been waiting for a very long, after basketball season ended, really. You know, this is the week you anticipate. So here we are. We're all locked in, ready to go.
Yes, we are. And week zero is past us. And you had an upset already, right? In college football, Georgia Tech gets the season started off right. Florida State, I'm not going to say they embarrassed themselves on national TV because I think Georgia Tech just flat out beat them. But do you think that has any, I guess, foreshadowing on what this college football season could be?
It could. I've just heard a lot of people that know college football said, watch out for Georgia Tech and Brent Key. They were very high on him as a coach. They said, don't sleep on Georgia Tech. I just heard so many good things and so many, you know, people kind of saying heads up about Brent Key and what kind of coach he was that it really didn't surprise me. I mean, I thought Florida State would win the game, but, you know, it may be. It may be indicative at the end of the year Georgia Tech may be better than Florida State. And at the end of the day, it wasn't that much of an upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I mean, you watched the game just like I did. They bullied Florida State. I mean, they bullied them on both sides of the ball, both sides of the trenches, and had better quarterback play, had better coaching. I mean, Georgia Tech just looked like the better football team. And so most of the time, that team goes on to win. And we'll see if that happens going into week one, where there are so many good matchups around college football. We're going to get to Auburn specifically in week one and things like that coming up after our bottom of the hour break, but I just want to look around and get ready for this season of college football, where it's going to be different than it's ever been before, with the transfer portal as open as it is, NIL money flowing like crazy, and an expanded college football playoff.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, they rolled out two of those the same year, which was kind of amazing that I can remember when the transfer portal really, really started to pick up steam, that you know, the original rules were you could come out once and that was it. Well, they've relaxed on that, but that same year, same calendar year, they rolled out NIL, and I thought, you know, this is a little too much too soon. So it's a good thing that they did wait a couple years to come on the backside with the 12 game playoff, but they're all kind of related to each other, that it looks like an NFL model. If you think about it, all three components of what you just said are all based upon an NFL model. Free agency is the transfer portal. NIL is your contract that you negotiate as, you know, as a free agent, that kind of thing. And, you know, obviously the NFL has expanded playoffs more than college football when they had four. Even the NFL has expanded their playoffs
yeah,
in the last 2 years. So it's really starting to get more like the professional model, which I'm not really crazy about, but, you know, it is what it is. And then when you start getting into these playoff scenarios and you get to play at home, or some people have a bye, I will say that when Auburn makes the college football playoff,
there you go.
How electric is it going to be when you're there at home at Jordan-Hare in a playoff game? So that will be kind of cool. Other than that, I'm just not really, you know, keen on following the NFL model. That's what I loved about college football, is it was so different and unique.
Our friend Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 was with us in hour number one. He joins us on Wednesdays in the first hour, and he made a point that I had not thought about, Darryl. With the expanded college football playoff, you now are going to have more teams playing in more significant games later in the season, rather than, you know, November being the battle of 8 to 10 teams. It could be a battle of 20 to 30 teams now, and I thought that was a really intriguing viewpoint.
It's a great point, and it's really a great benefit or byproduct of the college football playoff, where when you would go into November, and if a team had two losses, it was curtains. I mean, you know, they were playing a meaningful game if they were still trying to get into a conference title game, which Ole Miss doesn't know what that feels like, or if they were trying to get into a significant bowl, you know, or get to 10 wins. You still played for something. But this is going to be completely different, because teams, especially SEC teams, that go into November or go into their rivalry week, it used to be over. You know, you weren't going to have a shot for a BCS appearance when it was two teams, or even a playoff appearance when it was four. Now, all across the country, a lot of two-loss teams in the middle of November will still be playing with a playoff bid on the line. And I think that does make for a lot more exciting games. And don't think for a minute it won't affect television games. You know how they flex games in the NFL? Mm-hmm. What if they start doing that in college? Because this game means you get a possible playoff berth, or the loser of this game is eliminated from the playoffs, the winner goes on. That could affect TV game, TV ratings, and that kind of thing.
I think it will. I mean, look at Auburn's current schedule right now. We don't know all the times, but we know some of the time slots, right? Some of the time zones that they're going to be in. And yeah, the Iron Bowl is a flex right now. So basically ESPN says, yeah, we're going to hold on to that just in case. Yeah, like you said, this is a game where winner is in, loser is out type of thing. It's absolutely going to be like that.
Well, it would be, you look, any rivalry game, Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama, you know, Texas A&M, any of these big rivalry games that get to the last weekend of the year, if you've got a scenario where the loser is eliminated from playoff contention, it's like a sudden death type game, and the winner moves on, I mean, how much more crazy is that rivalry game going to be than it already is? I mean, even like, you know, I don't think that would happen in the Egg Bowl, but, you know, something like I said, Texas A&M, Ohio State, Michigan, down the road, Auburn, Alabama, that's going to be a situation where it's even going to be more nuts and more emotional than it is now, if that's possible.
Which is sort of where I'm heading with this, is for a lot of people, and you know, like yourself, who are not in favor of all the changes that are happening, and some people are willing to accept it, some people aren't. But I think there are good things to look at with this, and I think you and I have just highlighted a lot of those. And you know, you can look at the week one matchups that way, and all the way through the end of the season, where it just feels the college football season has become stronger. It's definitely become longer in terms of the calendar, and it just becomes more impactful and hopefully just more fun.
Yeah, that's a really good benefit of it, and that's something that people will see this year that will be so much different, and it is. It's one of the few things I look at and go, okay, now that enhances the whole product, and that's going to make it a lot funner later in the year.
We got about a minute and a half before the music kicks us out of here at the bottom of the hour break. Darryl, what games are you looking forward to in week one? We'll talk Auburn, Alabama, A&M after the break, but what big games around the country are you looking at this week?
The Texas A&M Notre Dame game is very intriguing to me. Both teams ranked, I feel like, a little bit higher than they should be. So that's one that I think that is you know going to be really cool. And then unless it was a hoax or something like that, I've been in and out with some appointments today. I thought I read on X where Lincoln Riley is he not coaching in the opening game against LSU, or was that like just a little spoof or something like that that someone dropped on X? I couldn't really do a deep dive, but the LSU-USC game seems pretty important as well.
I have not seen that unless I've been living under a rock today too. You may have gotten social media, or I just may be out of touch with things.
Maybe because it was so quick, I just did a quick glance in like 2 seconds, and that might be the case. So.
I don't know. I haven't seen that, but I think that game's intriguing either way, right? I mean, I think that's one of the bigger games in the SEC outside of Georgia, Clemson, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I mean, I look at that and I look at Florida, Miami, where I think the loser won't lose his job after week one, but it's probably going to be a rough season. And I think the winner even still could lose his job down the road if the season doesn't go well in Florida, Miami.
Yeah, Florida-Miami is very interesting to me as well. I think that's a game that I'm going to be, especially because you got an SEC opponent. You've got Florida with an absolutely brutal schedule, you know, and it's going to be hard-pressed to win five or six games because of that schedule. So that's one I have my eye on as well.
All right, Darryl Dapperich is with us here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we're talking Auburn and Alabama A&M. What have we learned throughout fall practice? What do we know about that depth chart where there may be more questions than answers? And as Auburn is a 47.5-point favorite, how in the world do you cover a spread like that? All that and more coming up with Darryl Dapperich. He joins us on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. Joining us is Darryl Dapperich. He's with us for 30 minutes each and every Wednesday, 3:15 to 3:45. You can catch him on the Locked on Auburn podcast a couple of days a week. And you've got an article up there on Auburn Daily right now, Darryl, for people to go check out, previewing the game this weekend.
Yeah, I kind of took a little different angle. I dropped late last night, but it's basically what is the barometer going to be, or what are five key things that will determine whether or not the opener is a success? Because especially when you're playing an opponent that you're a 45-point favorite over, you've got to dig deep as to how and why you look at, okay, we've come away with this opening weekend, this opening game Saturday. What can we take away from it that we consider a success? And I had five different keys that I felt like are things we could look at and on Sunday morning say, okay, if these things happen, then that's deemed a successful opening weekend.
Well, without giving too much away and giving people the opportunity to go and check that out at auburndaily.com, give us one or two that you feel in that category where Auburn fans could walk away, yes, late Saturday night into Sunday morning and think, okay, that went as good as it could have.
Sure. Hey, I don't mind giving all five because, you know, we're previewing the game anyways. This is a great way to do it. Number one, the most obvious, and people will laugh at this, but win the game.
Yeah.
There are actually people that I've talked to that are skittish or nervous because of what happened in the New Mexico State game. Anytime they see an underdog, and look, this is an FCS school that went 5-6 last year. New Mexico State was an FBS school that went 10 games and went to a bowl. So it's completely different. But first and foremost, take care of business, win the game. Second of all, you know, you've heard it, as tale as old as time, come out of there injury-free.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want any injuries to happen to any key starters or reserves in a game like this. You hope to come out of there injury free, and that's why it's important to get that big lead and start pulling people that are crucial to your roster. The third thing is play a lot of people. I mean, my goodness, there is so much hype
and so much anticipation about some of these freshmen, and you want to see them if you're an Auburn fan. You want to see them get in the game. And to get to the three deep and four deep on this roster and on this depth chart, you better have a really stinking big lead. So you want to do that. You want to play a lot of people, not just the freshmen, Jacob. You want to maybe go to three or four in the depth chart at quarterback.
Right.
You want to see some of these defensive linemen that, you know, you've got a lot of defensive linemen in the secondary. So getting deep, deep, deep in the depth chart and playing a lot of people. Number four, I want to see what kind of pass rush Auburn's able to generate.
Yes.
Against Alabama A&M, Auburn needs to eat. I mean, they better have guys like Crawford and McLeod and Falk and Amaris Williams. They need to have, like, multi-sacks. This needs to be, like, a lot of sacks. Because if you don't, and you can't get pressure on the Alabama A&M quarterback, it's going to be difficult to get pressure the rest of the year, period. So you should look at this and have a really, really inflated sack total. And then the last one is balance on offense. It's very interesting. Brad Law and Zach did a deep dive on this a couple days ago. But typically under, like, Gus Malzahn and even Chizik in 2012, Auburn has played Alabama A&M twice in the last 12 years, 2012 and 2016. And both times, you know, they've blasted Alabama A&M, but they have been like 70% run, 30% pass. They threw it like 18 times one game and 19 times the other. I think they need to go away from that trend. I think there was a reason. Gus Malzahn was very secretive, played things close to the vest, didn't want to put too much on tape for other opponents. But if you're Auburn and you have all these shiny new toys with these receivers and you want Peyton Thorne to gain confidence, I say air it out more. I think they need to have balance on offense. They still need to run it effectively, but they need to throw it significantly more than they typically do in these types of games just to kind of get rhythm, get Thorne comfortable, and get these receivers running the routes correctly and getting separation. There's a lot of things you can gain that you can in practice, even against an FCS opponent. So I'd love to see Auburn throw it 25 to 30 times and get over 500 yards on offense, you know, with some balance. If those five things, those five criteria are met, I think you could consider, regardless, you know, if it's 55-3, whatever some of the scores have been in the past, I think that is how you can deem that a successful opening Saturday.
That's funny because, I mean, you alluded to it. That does go against what most people would expect and what most people would almost want in a game like this of, oh, let's stay vanilla. Let's just run the football. Let's not air it out. Let's not show anything on film. And you know, I'm kind of in the boat with you. It's like, okay, you don't have to throw out your craziest play that you're going to pull out against Alabama in the Iron Bowl in this one. But, yeah, throw the football around a little bit. And the good news here, Darryl, is hopefully if you show up and take care of business, you have three or four games to do that before Oklahoma comes to town, so you don't have to do it all in just one game.
I think Cal would be the only opponent that you might just say, okay, whatever it takes to win, that's what we'll do. If we got to go a little bit heavier on the run and tone it down a little bit and let Peyton Thorne throw it 20 to 25 times and run it, you know, I'm talking about like a 60-40 split or a 55-45 split run to pass. If you are gouging Cal and their defensive line is wearing down because of this heat, humidity that they're not used to, and you're able just to run it down their throat, I would do that, especially since they've got a really stud running back on the other sideline that you kind of want to keep on the sideline for as much as you can in Ott. But, I mean, you still got to throw it, and that's going to be obvious. But Cal would be the only one that I would say, if it's working, don't go away from it. Because they're a Power 5 team. You know, they've got a good running back. They played Auburn close last year. There's a lot of factors. But everyone else, New Mexico, who lost to Montana State, you know, and even Arkansas, who is an SEC opponent, I think their secondary is very suspect. You should air it out. And if you start to do that, Jacob, if you look up at the end of the game in SEC match, you know, opponents, and you're throwing for, you know, 260, 270, and you're running your 250 normal that you do, and you got some balance, Auburn's going to be extremely dangerous. There's a point total that I saw. Auburn averaged 26 points a game last year. If Auburn, you know, just does these things offensively and creates more balance and throws it better, you would think that would translate to more points. It has to. So let's just say Auburn increased 5 points a game and averaged 31 points a game on offense. They would have been 11-1 last year with that point total.
Isn't it crazy? That's all it takes.
Now, you have to make sure the defense doesn't collapse.
Sure.
Crazy. But still, I mean, I just think, you know, you don't want to get in shootout. I mean, because that sometimes happens. You see Auburn get better offensively and score in the low 30s, and then defensively something happens where they don't play as tight because they feel like, oh, we can score a point. You know how that whole thing happens.
Of course.
It's just human nature. You don't want to win shootouts 35-34 either.
Right, and of course, you know, the score, the faster you score, the more the defense is on the field and they get tired, and all those factors that anybody on this station listening is able to understand. I'm curious, though, let's say Auburn averages 30 points a game this season offensively. Where do you, this is a tough question to answer, but where would that rank in the SEC if you had to put a guess on it? I mean, would that be top five in the SEC this season?
Top seven. That number popped into my head, man. I can't get it out of there. I just, like Rain Man, I get these numbers in my head and they stick with me. I can't wash them off. If Auburn can average 30 points and about 480 yards worth of offense a game, I think they're sixth or seventh in the conference, which is a jump three or four or five spots. And I think that translates to three, four more wins. I mean, it could. That's why I think Auburn, you know, to me, I think the 8 win is the median. I think a ceiling for Auburn is 10 wins. And I think realistically they could win 9 by winning 8 regular season and then winning that bowl game. And getting that kind of offensive output, I think it goes a long way in reaching those goals.
Daryl Dappert's joining us here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7. He's with me every Wednesday from 3:15 to 3:45. I asked this question, and I don't know when the last time this was. Do you remember the last time Auburn was a 47.5 point or anywhere near that favorite and or covered a game like this? I mean, what an absurd number.
I'm wondering if in 2019, I don't think it happened in the Harsin era, and I know it didn't happen in 2020 because all Auburn did was play conference games.
Right.
But there was a game in 2019 when Bo Nix was a freshman, not the Tulane game, but another game that I think Auburn was up there in the low 40s, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe as far as Samford,
a favorite.
Maybe?
Samford could be.
Or Kent State. Kent State, the homecoming game. Auburn won 55-16.
Yes, Kent State. So that was, I just thought about this. It'd be interesting to see. I did the game on the radio. The Alabama State game in 2021, Parsons' second game after Auburn completely blasted Akron in game one, maybe the Alabama State game in week two of 2021, they were that much of a favorite.
Somebody just texted us in our on-the-line text box and says the Idaho game in 2015. Now, Auburn did not cover a big spread that day. They won, but
I was at that game.
The Idaho game in 2015. God, what a memory that is.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I wonder what the spread was then against Alabama State in 2021. That'd be interesting to go back and see.
Yeah, I'm trying to. That may have to be an offline type of thing, but I don't know. It just seems like 47.5 is a lot. You've got Arkansas that's favored by 48.5 over Arkansas Pine Bluff, Missouri 46.5. I mean, I don't care who it is, and I said this earlier. That's a lot of points to bet on somebody to win by, Daryl.
It is. I mean, that's the thing. Backdoor touchdowns, you know, a coach that looks across the sideline at the other coach up 55-10 and kneels on it at the 20-yard line, you know, and then if it's a 47, you lose. I mean, there's just so many different aspects of that. It's such a tough thing. It's such a tough, because the variables you can't control. Like I said, let's say you're Auburn and you're up 55-10 and Alabama A&M gets the ball back and their coach decides to leave his starters in while Auburn's playing fourth string dudes and Alabama A&M scores a backdoor touchdown. That happens.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And so, yeah, that's very, very difficult from a line standpoint. Not trying to tell anybody what to do with their money,
But that's why I would just abstain.
that's probably the best way to put it, Daryl.
That's how I look at that. Upstate. Yeah. I'll pass.
I'm with you on that. Well, hey, I want to get your thoughts on this before I let you get out of here. Sure. We got the depth chart, the game one, you know, depth chart that Hugh Freeze doesn't believe in and things like that, and all the jokes that are out there, right? But everybody has talked about how the offensive guys, you've got starters in bold. Defensively, there's not a single guy that is above one other player that is in bold, because they're all in bold with the letters OR next to them, because we could see a combination of legitimately anybody on defense on Saturday.
Yeah, I wonder if that's just the philosophy that Durkin likes to do to keep the opposing offensive coordinator and opposing head coach guessing. I mean, from a defensive line standpoint, I get the OR stuff because I've heard all different kind of combinations. I think from a linebacking standpoint, it's about injury. Is Austin Keys ready to go? And if he is, does he start over Mausi? I heard that Keys and Keontae Scott were both full participants in practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So but that could be a lot to do with it too. You know, there was a couple of starting positions on the defense where some guys were banged up. So I think I have a pretty good idea, as do you or anybody else who's been following Auburn over the last couple of months, what the starting defense will look like, except for me, along the defensive interior of the defensive line. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Is it Jason Jones or Isaiah Rakes? Is it Keys or Bleedy? Gage Keys. I mean, there's just some different aspects of that, and it should be interesting. And the other little side note, this offensive line left tackle, you know, whole back and forth thing, got word yesterday Tyler Johnson was out there with the first 11, not Percy Lewis. So we'll see if that translates to Saturday when the starting lineups are announced.
And to bring it back up once more, the fact that Auburn has at least two games, possibly three, possibly four to start the season where they do have a luxury, hopefully, to, you know, to move some things around and try different things out and whatever. I mean, Auburn could do that. And at that point, Daryl, you just have to kind of wait and see. Show up to Jordan-Hare and just see what Auburn decides to do first quarter, second half, what have you. I mean, Auburn, you're going to see some different rotations at all these different positions, and I think fans should just be aware of that. Daryl Daprich, Locked On Auburn, Auburn Daily, Montgomery, radio legend, and most importantly for us, he's our Wednesday guest each and every week, 3:15 to 3:45. My man, I always appreciate you and your time. I appreciate your friendship even more, and I get to see you with whatever snacks you decide to bring this coming Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium. How about you surprise me this time, huh?
I will do that. See you in about 3 or 4 days. Looking forward to it. And as always, pleasure being on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, man. That is Daryl Daprich. Double D, man. It doesn't get better than that. Fan favorite here on the show and becoming a fan favorite across this state. He is just, he's so good at what he does. And I say this all the time. He is one of the best guys that you're ever going to meet on the face of the earth. So we appreciate him and his time each and every week. It's so much fun to talk with Daryl Daprich. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. What a great show today. It was jam-packed. Let me tell you what, feels like a Thursday with all the guests and things that we had on the show today. We just wrapped up our weekly sit-down visit with Daryl Daprich. You can catch him a couple of days a week on the Locked On Auburn podcast with Zach Blackerby. Also, he writes for Auburn Daily, and he's with us every Wednesday from 3:15 to 3:45. We also had Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, who joins us every Wednesday in the first hour, and had my one-on-one interview with Marty Smith from ESPN and SEC Network. Had a chance to sit down with him this morning and have about a 12-minute conversation or so. So that was on the show today, too. So if you missed any of that, or any other parts of the show, you can go and catch up with the podcast at ESPNAU.com. I'll have that posted for you here in just a little bit. You can go back and listen to that tonight, tomorrow, whenever you'd like. You can listen to it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. That's also where you can listen to the show live every single day at ESPNAU.com. And under the contest tab there, you can find our SEC Football Challenge. That is underway. You have until Friday at midnight to get your picks in for every single SEC game. So get on there, go check it out. Station website, ESPNAU.com. Under the contest tab, weekly winners, and then a grand prize winner at the very end. So be sure that you go and get your picks in. We will do ours live on the show on Friday, plus add in a couple of our own games in there as well. We'll be keeping up with all of our records. Me, Uncle T-Bone, and then Christian Griffin will be with us as well. And our SEC Football Challenge, our sponsors, and thank you to them for making that possible. The Orthopedic Clinic, Johnny Brusco's, and University Ace Hardware. So thank you to them. They will be providing weekly prizes for everybody. And then again, whoever has the best score at the end of the season can or will win a grand prize. So that's on our station website tomorrow, coming up on the show. All right, I mentioned Thursdays are busy, and they are. They're a lot of fun. Hour number one is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He'll join us at 2:30. Then, to start hour number two at 3 o'clock, we'll have Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He'll join us and recap a monstrous win in week one against North Miami Beach. We'll preview week two as Vestavia Hills comes to town to the Duck on Friday night. We'll have him join us at 3 o'clock tomorrow. And then 3:30 is Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. So 1, 2, and 3 guests again tomorrow from 2 to 4. It's jam-packed, man. That's what we do around here in the fall. We are just, we're so busy. It's hard to keep up at times, but there's always something going on. And so you definitely don't want to miss that. And just a reminder, on Thursdays, not on this show, but on The Drive with Bill and Dan at 5:30, you can hear Tiger Takes, which is back this season, and Eugene Asante is back with us as well, the Auburn linebacker, who we expect to be very active on the field this fall for Hugh Freeze, DJ Durkin, and the Tigers. Eugene sits down with me every week. We do it in the morning just because they have practice in the afternoons, and so Eugene and I sit down every week, and we visit for Tiger Takes. That plays during The Drive at 5:30, and that's brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Ryan Wade is the guy who owns 12K. He's my barber, and they are supporting Tiger Takes this year, so we appreciate them doing that. So that's going to be on tomorrow's Drive at 5:30, and then Free for All Friday right here, 2 to 4, we'll have Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin, and myself picking all the biggest games in week one of college football and making our final picks and predictions for Auburn and Alabama A&M. Week one is here. Can you feel it? I can. I'm telling you what. We'll talk a little high school football on Friday as well with Auburn High hosting Vestavia Hills. We'll talk Lee Scott as they go on the road, just up the road to Lochapoca. So we'll have that for you on Friday as well. Stick around, though. The Drive with Bill and Dan coming up. It's Wednesday, which means, I believe they have Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. Didn't see if he's out there or not. I'm sure he is, though. He's normally with them on Wednesdays for hour number one. So stick around for that. Two more hours of local sports talk coverage. Nobody does it better than we do at ESPN 106.7. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.